quite an anthem these days. It's the Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, you know, we check in with Doug Plank every Monday here on the Download after a game. Yesterday, of course, because of a special report on the debate, we did not check in with Doug, so we bring him in tonight, which is probably a good thing, too, because it gives us a little bit of time to marinate, to think about what happened, to maybe be able to dim our anger, you know, our frustrations, and say, well, there were a lot of bright, positive things about that game, even though we lost. Doug Plank, isn't that right? I mean, there's a lot of things that after a day or two, you're like, yeah, you know, the Bears played, they might have played better than we thought.
You know, I think with a lot of the running that was taking place in the game ended sooner than we anticipated with fewer spots. That was about the only good news, I think. You know, and yeah. Not only did they win, I mean, just in watching the game, I think, you know, you started getting a sense early in the game that things were not going well. And, you know, both offense and defense, you know, they were getting outplayed. You know, I really felt like earlier in the game, you know, was actually worse than the second half. You know, when the Cowboys went up to 24-3, I thought, wow, this game is over. And, yeah. You know, and there were a few good things, Justin, I think, in the game. You know, there was some physical play early in the game, you know, as far as tackles and hits and things like that. But, you know, just overall, the execution, I thought, was just really lacking. I mean, I thought, you know, that receiver Beasley did a great job for the Cowboys, and Ezekiel Elliott, you know, did a good job running. I think what really, you know, in talking with a lot of the Bear fans since the game, I think their frustration is they look at a team like Dallas, you know, who had struggled also in the last couple of years, but they got two guys now, a quarterback and a running back, that really, you know, secured this win, you know, with key throws throughout the game, you know, and runs and picking up first downs when they needed to with Ezekiel Elliott.
I got to say, I mean, as you think more about, I mean, there was a great moment where Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, they said, what's the identity of this team? And Chris Collinsworth goes, I don't know. And there seemed to be a lot of confusion about what the Chicago Bears were trying to put on the field this year. After the first three games, we see an 0-3 start. We've seen a lot of mediocrity across the board. Injuries obviously play a big part of that. But for you, Doug, I mean, you've been someone who's run a league both as an analyst, as a coach, as a former player. You know, we talked in the preseason about identity, what the Bears' identity is around the country. What do you think the Bears' identity is after three games?
Well, you know what? With so much youth on the team, you know, so much change up, you know, from making selections, trades, you know, bringing in free agents. You know, I mentioned to a lot of friends, it's like they're trying to rebuild the rebuild. You know, it's already they're changing up positions with guys that have just been put in position over the last couple of years. So, you know, yes, this is a young team. There's a lot of new players and things like that. But, you know, you start looking at the other team, you know, like passing. You know, I was a defensive back, and, you know, one of the evaluations, okay, how well did we play? Well, you got to start looking at some of the stats. Obviously, everybody looks at the score. But, you know, when you start looking at, like, their quarterback completion, you know, how many passes did he complete?
Yeah, right, right.
He completed almost 80% of his passes.
That's crazy.
And they weren't all short passes. They were downfield. And, you know, when something like that happens, then you got a problem. You know, it's either your pass rush or your coverage is pretty bad.
You know, I was going to ask you this as well. I mean, you were a playmaker, and there have been other plays, whether it be a big hit or a turnover, and we saw this a lot with the Bears of the last generation, with Brian Urlacher and company, where the chips may be where the other team comes out and punches you in the mouth, but there are players that possess that ability to make a play on the ball to change momentum. And that is something that we haven't seen with the Chicago Bears team on either side of the ball. Maybe Alshon Jeffrey is the one who's got that talent on the offense. But on the defensive side, last year was kind of miserable when it came to takeaways. This year it started starting out the same. Who on this team is the guy who is going to step up and make that play that turns the tide?
Boy, you know what? I got to tell you right now, I mean, I think there's some decent athletes on this team and guys that have played well in college and even on other NFL teams. But I don't know. I don't see leadership. Like, in between the plays, watching the huddle, I don't see one guy going crazy, yelling, screaming, you know, trying to direct people. It's just like everybody's kind of going through the motion, running off and on the field. And I'm not trying to make this sound, you know, like it's all the coaching fault or whatever the case might be. But, you know, it's got to start somewhere. The emotion, the energy, you know, I found that in the teams that I played for, the emotion started first before you started seeing plays take place. You know, big hits, tackles, runs, all those sort of things. And I just don't see that. I just see like there's this calm acceptance of what's taking place. You know, it doesn't seem to me like watching the sidelines. And I'm not saying the sidelines have to be all bunch of crazy people, but, you know, there still has to be a sense of concern. And, you know, the only thing that I can compare it to is, you know, other teams that are in a similar situation, you know, watching the Buffalo Bills this weekend totally dismantle the Arizona Cardinals. And you know what? That was like a Super Bowl for the Bills. I mean, they came out.
Yeah, their emotion was high, right?
Special teams.
Right.
And that's what it's going to take. I mean, you got to take it one play at a time. And, you know, certainly the Bears have the capacity to win games. And obviously the game this week against the Lions is going to be very important.
Okay, let me ask, before we get to the preview of the Lions game, let's talk about coaching, because we saw on the defensive side of the ball I'm not a scholar when it comes to defensive schemes and what have you, but a rookie quarterback seemed to know what the Bears were going to do and didn't seem to be fazed by any sort of trickery or schemes that Vic Fangio threw at him. Seemed like a pretty preseason-like vanilla-based defense. And then let's talk about the offense. I mean, Dowell Loggins and the offense, even with injuries, obviously with Brian Hoyer, the backup quarterback, getting in, they're not when the game was out of hand, yeah, they were throwing plays whatever they wanted to. But again, they're not doing anything that is, you know, world beating the NFL, as we say, you know. So what is it about is something about the coaching staff and the way that we're running our scheme that is not on par with other NFL teams?
Well, I'll just say this. You know, I think, like I said earlier in the season, I think they were trying to throw long passes with really a suspect offensive line. I don't think the offensive line has really played together very well. They're not passing communication information along. You know, we talked before a couple of weeks ago about guys just running off the edge. You know, if you don't have anybody protecting that edge, your quarterback is going to get hurt. And I think, you know, where the Bears are right now with their offensive line, they need a quarterback that can extend plays. That means run out of the pocket, buy himself some time. You know, you start looking at what the Dallas Cowboys have right now with their quarterback. You know, Dak Prescott is a rookie. I mean, he's a young guy. I don't think he's necessarily that adept at reading all the defenses and coverages and blitzes, but he's got, you know, he has got the capacity to run and stay on his feet,
right,
and extend plays. And that makes such a huge difference, Justin, because even if you don't even know what you're doing or what you're throwing into, everything breaks down after 5 or 6 seconds down the field. So if you can run around for 5 or 6 seconds, I promise you somebody is running wide open. All you have to do is find them. And Prescott seemed to do that over and over and over again.
It's funny. That's
and really with the, you I know, mean, that's, so that, that's what, where I think they were successful.
Yeah,
early
and,
on.
And, you know, to take it from the Bears page, I mean, that's what we thought we were getting with Jay Cutler. I mean, he makes plays with his feet. He continues to play by rolling out and avoiding pressure, but we saw in the first couple weeks that was not the case. He was getting drilled. All right, let's talk about the Detroit Lions. I mean, 0-3 start is pretty dismal, and it doesn't bode well for the Bears being competitive, never mind the playoffs, but competitive. But a win at home against a divisional rival, the first NFC North game of the season, that has to be the right place to start.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, especially like we talked before, you know, with only winning, what, one home game last year, you know, and not having won any home games this year. I mean, it's critical. And the fans that I talk to, obviously they're Chicago Bear fans and have been for a long time. And they've really suffered because this not only goes back to last year, it goes back to the year before that, where I think
the
they only won
too.
Two games.
Yeah, Trestman, the 2 years of Trestman, even the year that they didn't go, right.
It's you know, really, really frustrating. So, you know, here you are now as a fan, you know, paying a lot of money to go to a home game with parking and, you know, buying a hot dog or whatever down there at Soldier Field. And now all of a sudden, you know, you're in a situation where, you know, you're watching a team that's not very successful and not even winning at home and losing by considerable numbers. And I think that's where the frustration comes into it. And, of course, I know the Bears are trying to do everything they can right now to try to make this thing right. But, you know, right now, with what they've been dealt right now as far as players and
situations, right.
I can't see where they can – yeah, in injuries, exactly. I don't – I don't know. I hate to say this, but, you know, trying to make a marketable difference in what the results have been over the last few weeks, I think it's going to be very difficult to change.
Doug, you're supposed to come on and say, you know what? I like our chances against Detroit at home.
Well, you know what? I mean, really, I almost prefer to see them play the Lions on the road because I think they're better on the road
for the most part. Is that psychological? I mean, is that a mental thing for the Bears at this point? Why can they not win at Soldier Field?
I don't know what it is. Yeah, you know what? You know, a lot of teams do different things. Like, they'll have players go to a hotel the night before. You know, sometimes teams just let their players just stay at home. And, you know, but, you know, if you got a bunch of kids, you know, and it's a noisy night, you know, that's probably not going to be the best situation for getting rest and relaxation and thinking about the game. So most teams do take their players to hotels. I don't know what the Bears do. I just know that, you know, you got to keep changing things up until you find something that works. And I'm sure that they're continuing to do that until they can find something that will ultimately get them a win at home.
A lot of calls, even from Adam Hogue here, to say, you know, you're at 0-3. You obviously are selling a rebuild with all these young players. You're almost forced into it because of all the injuries. I mean, it's amazing when you go down the list of all the players that make money that are on the bench right now. Is this a time when we do a rebuild within a rebuild and just play the young players, play all the rookies, play the Jordan Howards and now he's going to have to play. He's the man. But, I mean, just go after, you know, getting as many young people reps as possible, young players, so that, you know, this could help us in 2-3 years from now.
You know what? I think that's absolutely the truth. And here's the other thing. I mean, it's like, okay, you're playing some games that you think you're probably not going to win. And, you know, so you want to try to go out there and do something creative, run some trick plays, run misdirection, run the halfback option pass, or, you know, double reverses or whatever, because you have to give yourself a chance to win. You can't just line up, you know, across the line of scrimmage from the team you're playing and saying, okay, we're just going to play this vanilla defense or offense and we're going to win the game. And I don't see that right now. I don't see the creativity. You know, I don't see the time spent trying to find a weakness in the other team or run some sort of a play, because you know what? They need some help right now. They need a big play, and the other thing, special teams hasn't helped them either, which is one third of the game.
I say all of your draft picks that you have available and you go get Le'Veon Bell, who comes off of the suspension in Pittsburgh, because D'Angelo Williams is doing well behind him. Get him out of Pittsburgh now. He can be on the new Bears star and we go to playoffs. Boom, I just solved it, Doug. Just solved it. No one listens to me.
Just think about it, though. You know, the longer that you keep going without a win, you know, so now, what, there's, you know, 3 games that are done, so you've got 13 games. If you need 10 games to win the season, you know, to get in the playoffs, now you're looking at finishing out 10-3, probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
So you have to start putting things into logical decisions, and I agree with what you're saying, Justin. I think they should evaluate every single person on this team that's a younger player that could produce, could come in and make a difference on the football team. Maybe not this year, but certainly next year. And you hate to always say that, you know, geez, it's over, because it's never really over. I mean, it's not over until you make up your mind it's over. And, you know, like I said, you keep going back to hopeless situations like that Buffalo Bills game last week. And, you know, that wasn't just a win. That was just a domination.
Show some fire, right. That's what we're looking for.
Fire.
Show some emotion.
It was fire by the staff as well as the players. And that's where the Bears need to be.
Doug Plank, the former Bear great, number 46, former coach, analyst for NFL, joins us here on The Download. One of these days, Doug, we're going to talk after the Bears win. I know it. I just have a feeling. We haven't done it yet, but I have a feeling it'll happen sometime. Maybe this year, maybe next. Doug, great to talk to you.
Well, yeah, and I just feel bad for, you know, OB and Dan Hampton and Glenn, you know, after the game. I mean, that's when it's really, really fresh and raw. And, you know, I hope we get a win for their sake, too.
Right. All right, take care, Doug. Thanks for joining us, bud.
Okay, Justin, thank you.